at BBS Radio. Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Hey, Jean. Varda is my guest tonight. Jean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Jean, for those of you who haven't heard her on the Women's Show at KBMR, she's a poet and a really, really good friend of mine. And she's joining us tonight to share an incredibly intriguing dating story. Mm-hmm. But before we get started, Jean, just how are you today?
Fine, good.
Yeah? Been out hiking in the Tahoe National Forest?
Yeah, and I went to where the two creeks meet. It was all beautiful.
It was so hot today.
But back by the two creeks, it was nice and cool and refreshing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was off taping the morning news in Sacramento for Fox 40. So That was fun. That was fun, but I only sent my DVR for one of the programs. I did two other programs, so I'm going to have to wait till they upload it to the Internet before I can see how I did on the second one.
I'm sure you did great.
Yeah, well, thanks for your vote of confidence. So, well, tell us, the listeners, a little bit about your current situation. Aren't you engaged to be married?
Yes. And, you know, we've been together for 2 years, and everything's going really well. And I'm an older, you know, the latter part of my life getting married.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're not ancient. What are you, in your 50s?
Yes.
Yeah, that's still considered young by most standards, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you're going to tell us a story about someone that you met a long time ago, or?
Yes, I was in my 20s. I was about 26.
Okay, so we're talking about 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and especially when you put it and frame it like that, something that happened 30 years ago, I think this story is going to be very unusual. And where were you living at the time?
In Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, okay. Is that liberal, kind of?
Yeah, very. It's kind of like the other Berkeley.
Oh, like another Berkeley. Okay. Yeah,
especially, well, I think it still is, but especially in my 60s and 70s. They were sister cities.
It was like what?
They were sister cities in the 60s and 70s. Cambridge and Berkeley.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, someone made a map of them next side by side.
Oh, wow. Well, I have not been to Cambridge. Just
home
Boston.
Home of Harvard.
Loved Boston.
Yeah.
So, how did you meet this person?
Yeah, shall I give them a fictional name, or?
Well, I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. I'll just call them Joseph.
Joseph. Okay, Joseph's a nice name. How did you meet Joseph?
Well, I was having a party, and I was just coming out of another relationship. I was very young, and he showed up with someone else I invited somehow. I can't remember exactly. And as soon as we talked, we really got to a deep level.
Yeah.
You know, there was no superficial talk at all. And then at that time, I was into, like, doing the Egyptian tarot, and he was a musician. And I think the
What's Egyptian tarot?
Oh, I don't. It's hard to explain, but I actually took a class in it at the Cambridge Adult Center for Education.
Uh huh.
And it's a very ancient form of tarot, and the cards are black and white, kind of plain. But it was an authentic tarot. You know, it wasn't like invented more recently. It was one of the really old ones.
Right.
That's why I studied it. So I offered offered to do his cards.
So what, okay, it says Egyptian. Was it invented during the Egyptian times?
Mm-hmm.
Pyramid times?
It was ancient. Yeah, it was.
Oh, wow.
The symbols were all, like, off of the crypts, you know, in the different Egyptian art.
Cool.
Just all that authentic stuff.
And what does Egyptian tarot have to do with you meeting Joseph?
Well, I don't know how we got into talking about that, but I offered to do his cards. And then the next day, I think it was the next day, he came over to my place so I could do his cards. And I remember he had his guitar and he played a song for me. And then we just headed out from there.
Well, that sounds pretty romantic. I mean, you know, for a first date.
Yeah, and the other thing was I was coming off of another relationship and he was really supportive and, you know, I was really hurting and he really helped me to heal from that.
He's a very compassionate man, huh?
Mm-hmm, very.
So was he in his 20s, too?
Yeah, I think he was 3 years younger, like about 23.
Ooh, younger man.
Mm-hmm.
And both of you were in college?
No, neither one was. We were both working.
What were you doing for a living?
At that time, it was before I became a nurse. I was just working as a caregiver, I think
okay.
It was.
Okay. And you work as a nurse now.
Yeah, now I'm a
nurse. You actually work with people who are in hospice?
Yeah, it's hospice.
So that's, I mean, kind of death and dying, right?
Completely, yes. 6 months or less to live.
Wow. You must have an amazing constitution.
Yeah, it takes a lot of strength and peace and, like, a lot of prayer to get through it.
I would imagine. What made you decide to go into that?
Well, when I was first going to nursing school, I was given a job just as nursing school ended. One of my instructor, her neighbor was dying, and they needed a private nurse, and she recommended me.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I got into it. And that was in Santa Fe.
Santa Fe. Okay. So at this time, though, you guys are in Cambridge. Neither one of you is going to school.
No.
You're working as a caregiver. What is Joseph doing?
He had various jobs. His main thing was playing music. Like, he played at clubs to make money, too. He was, like, a songwriter and a really good musician. He did
a lot of
other people's music, too.
So when you said he played you a song on his guitar, this is actually a pretty cool thing. I thought, you know, like lots of guys think they can play the guitar.
No, this is a very talented musician we're talking about.
Wow. Okay. So when you did his tarot, did anything come up that is memorable?
Well, you know, at the time it seemed real meaningful, but now it's like a complete, like my memory fails me. I don't remember it, but I just remember the feeling of it was really like in harmony, like things were falling into place.
And like it had some implications for the two of you getting together?
I think it did.
So how did you get together after this first date?
We just kind of melted together. Like we had that experience and we both like nature, so we went hiking and then we went back to his place, but it's kind of like a continuum, so I can't remember exactly like how far apart it all happened. But it seems like it happened kind of quickly.
So you guys kind of fell for each other overnight, huh?
I think so.
Yeah, you were on the rebound.
Right.
And what was the breakup like from this other relationship? Was it nasty or just kind of...
Pretty nasty, yeah. It was pretty painful. He was graduating from Harvard University, and he met someone else, and I said, you know, he told me he wasn't with them, but he really was with them, and I read a letter that he had left out in his desk. I have two relationships, there's Jean and there's Barbara, and I was like, oh my God. And that's at that point I broke up with him.
Wow.
So I was really hurting.
So you just found the letter?
Yeah, I was waiting for him at his apartment, and I just looked at the drafting table, and there was this letter, and I couldn't believe, you know, because he had told me he wasn't with her anymore. It was just an affair. But he was back with her.
So you broke it up with him, and how long had you and him been together?
2 years.
2 years. Okay, so now you meet Joseph, and how long between the breakup and meeting Joseph?
Pretty close together, like probably a month or two.
No, boy, you're as bad as me.
Yeah, I was bad.
I once broke up with a live-in boyfriend, somebody I'd lived with for 2 years. I was really trying to get rid of him, but I should say, actually, he broke up with me because I just failed to show up for the relationship. And he moved out, and within a month, I had my fiancé moved in.
Wow, moved in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it was ridiculously fast, but,
yeah,
you know, I was 22.
Yeah, well, I was 26.
We have a different sense of time when we're really young.
Mm-hmm. It's like everything's happening really fast, and we're in a big, huge hurry.
Totally. So, okay, what was the first kiss like with Joseph?
I remember it was really nice, because I remember it was really cold outside, and we were sitting in his, he had an old Chevy, I think it was, and we had the, you know, then gas was really cheap, we had the heat, we were running the engine to keep the thing warm, and it was the middle of winter in Massachusetts.
Yeah.
And it just felt really good, like, you know, parked at the entrance to some hiking trail with the engine going, you know, and the heat from the heater.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we did it, first kiss.
And so you guys just fell for each other right away, huh?
I remember it being that way, yeah.
So, you know, and this is the shame-free zone, so I'm going to get personal here. How long before you guys had sex?
I would say probably a few days.
Oh, you're easy.
Yeah.
I was in
those days.
Well, this was the 70s, right? Or?
Yes, and we're talking like about 1976.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely.
Love, you know, the sexual revolution.
Absolutely. There was no playing hard to get back then, huh?
Not at all. I was in Woodstock and all that, you know.
Oh, cool, man. I missed Woodstock. I was just a little too young.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you guys started having sex. How was it?
It was good.
Yeah? What was it? What was his best attribute as a lover?
He was romantic and sensitive.
Took his time?
I think so. Yeah, I would say so. But very sensitive.
Yeah, you didn't feel like you had to, like, tell him where everything was?
No, not at all.
And how did he contrast with the first boyfriend that you had? Was he, you know, more macho, less macho?
How'd I say more, less macho.
Less macho than the
more
first boyfriend?
More like with you.
He was what?
More like with you, like just your friend, you know, like less, it's hard to, less like your lover thing, but more just like being with a friend.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. All right, so how long were you guys together?
Oh, I think it was about, well, we were together more than once. But the first time it was at least 2 years.
Oh.
But then we broke up and went back together again.
Okay.
And that's when things...
Why'd you guys break up?
Two more times we went back together.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
you guys couldn't make up your mind, huh?
Well, there was reasons, though. I remember very clearly.
Okay. Well, do tell.
Well, he was... I never really thought much about this, but he liked to, you know, change roles, like... You know, I would dress up as a man, he would dress up as a woman, or he would, you know, I would still be myself, but he would dress up as a woman sometimes.
Well, wait. You got to give us a little more detail than that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys cross-dressed what, when you went out for Halloween, in the bedroom?
Well, sometimes in the bedroom. If we went out, we just, you know, like, wore each other's underwear, but we didn't, like, have the whole outfit. Like, he didn't have, you know, he didn't have a dress on when we left the bedroom.
Okay.
But I'd stay in the bedroom.
So whose idea was this to swap underwear before you guys went out?
His idea.
So his idea was he wanted to wear your panties.
Right.
And he wanted you to wear his shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you guys would go out.
Sometimes.
Wow. And then what about when you were in the bedroom and you were cross-dressing? What would you wear?
Well, he'd want to wear one of my dresses or my skirt or something.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't really care. I mean, I would just...
Would you wear guys' stuff?
I don't remember doing that very much.
Okay.
I remember one time we were having some kind of theater thing the last time we were together and we did something like that, but we weren't, not when I was younger.
Well, how did you feel when he put on a dress before having sex?
I thought it was really strange. Like, I wasn't, you know, it didn't turn me on. I just felt like if he needs to do that, and I knew other guys that had to do that, so I'll just let him do it.
You knew other guys that had to do it?
Yeah, but I don't want to get into that. That's a whole other...
Oh, my God, so you have priors, huh?
Yeah, but not as detailed as this one.
Okay. All right. So you weren't, you'd seen this before, so I wasn't totally freaking you out.
No, once with a boyfriend and once with some friends.
Okay. But you weren't turned on by it either.
Not really, no. I just thought, well, that's just something they need to do.
Wow. Okay. All right. So, so how does this eventually turn into a breakup?
Okay, that's years later, and
well, how many years later?
About 2 years from that time.
Okay.
Approximately, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
And the breakup, it was, well, okay, sometimes he wouldn't talk to me, like he wouldn't tell me what was going on, like he'd get really quiet, and that would be really hard for me because I'm like really direct and I have to have a line of communication in a relationship.
Uh-huh.
But he would get like really withdrawn and really quiet and wouldn't tell me what was going on, and I felt like I was just kind of beating my head on the wall, and I think that led to the breakup.
Okay, so you felt like he was withholding.
Yes, very much.
That's a pretty typical pattern for men, though, don't you think?
It can be. There's some different flavor to it.
Okay. So how long were you guys broke up the first time, then?
Let's see. Not too long. Probably like 6 months.
That's still a hunk of change. Were you dating other people?
Nothing significant. Like, not, I don't remember anything significant happening in between that time.
Okay.
And it was, together. But they weren't, like, serious relationships.
Yeah, and then how'd you get back together again?
Okay, I think we saw each other at a party, and then he came home with me. We had common friends, and he had shaved off. I remember we were in bed together, and he was just like a male, but he had shaved off all his hair, like, it was really smooth, like, no hair on the arms and legs.
Whoa. Okay, you guys got back together again, how?
Well, we saw each other at a party.
Oh, we saw each other at a party, and so then you fall into bed.
Right, and that was, like, right before I was leaving to move to California, the first...
And he's as bald as a billiard.
Pretty much, underneath the clothes, yeah. And that's the first thing I noticed.
And how did that feel to you?
That was interesting. It didn't really bother me. I mean, I didn't think it was weird or anything.
Okay. So this guy's wearing dresses the first time. Now he's shaving everywhere.
Right, but in public, not wearing a dress yet.
Okay. All right, so it didn't really bother you. Did it feel nice?
Yeah, it felt pretty nice.
Yeah.
Like kind of sensual, you know, it wasn't gross or anything.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah.
And now, this first time you see each other at a party and you fall into bed together, does that turn into you're back together now?
Yeah, for a short time, because I was supposed to be leaving in a day or two for San Francisco, but it led to me wanting to come right back to Massachusetts like a month later or 6 weeks later. But I was actually moving to San Francisco, you know, all planned out, and then this happened.
Okay. Well, so what happens?
So I come back from San Francisco. We wrote to each other, and I really missed him. And came back, and he picked me up at the airport, and we got back together. We weren't living together. We were just going out. And then I think it was a few months later, kind of vague in my mind, I just decided I can't do this. You know, it doesn't feel right.
Well, what couldn't you do?
Be back with him.
And why didn't it feel right?
Still seemed like there was some kind of withholding, like some kind of emotional heaviness that was dragging me down.
Okay, like he wasn't sharing something with you.
Right, something was just feeling heavy to me, like it just didn't feel right.
Okay.
So I broke it off, and I remember he gave me a letter, you know, how much he loved me.
Trying to get back with you.
Right, really didn't want me to do that, and couldn't we still try, and I had to ignore that. So that was like a big one that time. That was the second time.
And how long were you guys broke up that time?
Well, a long time, because after that I had two significant relationships, and the one of them leading to me having a child, and he also got married during that time.
Oh, my God.
He got married to a woman.
Okay, so he married a woman.
Right, and I married, and I had one relationship, then the next one I married and had a kid.
Wow. And how long were you guys away from each other then?
Let me see. like about 5 years.
Wow.
We saw each other once when I had left for New Mexico and I moved back to Massachusetts after my daughter was born.
Uh-huh.
And he came over to visit me once when he was married, and we didn't really connect. Like, he thought I had really kind of sold myself out by, you know, just the way I was in this working class life, and he was still trying to make it as a musician, and he was married.
Well, what did he thought you should be doing? Working as a poet?
Yeah, or just like an artist and a poet, like doing something I really love to do, and not just having this working class life in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Well, that was, you know, okay, but you had a baby to take care of.
Yeah, I did. He didn't know what that was like.
So he had a wife, but no children.
Right, they didn't have any kids.
Okay. So there's no love connection there. 5 years have gone by.
Well, at that point, it was probably like about 2 years had gone by, or 2 or 3 years had gone by. Yeah, 2, I'd say.
Okay. And then?
Okay, then I'm living in Santa Fe, and my daughter's probably just about 2 years old or so, and I had this really vivid dream that he had died, that Joseph had died, and I got really concerned. It was such a vivid dream that I had to try to find him. I had to try to call him. I wasn't sure, but somehow I had a number of a friend of his, or somehow I got through to him. And he's in Massachusetts, and I'm in Santa Fe.
Wow.
And I'm still married, and I have a baby. And that was this is the beginning of the third time.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So you're still married and you got a baby?
At the time I called, my marriage was pretty much on the rocks. Like, I think we weren't actually divorced, but I was asking, you know, talking about, I was getting ready to move out from my husband.
Oh.
And she's about 2 years old.
And then you have this dream about Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
So you call Joseph, and Joseph's married.
Not anymore.
Oh.
She had left.
So he had had a divorce.
Right.
And was he dying?
No. But actually, yes, because let's give her a name. Let's say Jill was being born.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, Joseph was dying off because there was like he told me that he had decided to start getting the shots, the estrogen shots, and he was buying clothes. In women's clothes, like really women's clothes, like shopping in women's section of the store and, you know, dressing as a woman. That's what he told me on the phone.
So Joseph had decided to go beyond cross-dressing,
mm-hmm.
and actually start becoming a woman.
Exactly.
And in that sense, when you had this dream that Joseph was dying, he was.
Exactly. That's what I figured it meant.
Wow. How did you feel when Joseph told you that he was on his way to becoming Jill?
You know, I felt kind of sad. I felt mixed. Like, I felt really happy he wasn't dead, because I thought I was going to hear from some friend or something that he had died.
Yeah.
And then I felt sad because that lover I had, like that person I still, you know, loved in some ways, was gone to me forever, was, you know, leaving forever.
Mm-hmm.
Could never have it back.
Sounds sad. And how did Joseph handle telling you? I mean, was he comfortable or nervous?
Very comfortable, very relaxed. Like nothing to lose, just telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. And so then what happened? Did you guys just say, let's be friends, or did you start seeing each other again?
Well, we decided to see each other.
You what?
We decided to see each other.
Okay.
And I had, being from Massachusetts, where he still lives, I had plans like months ahead of this conversation of visiting my sister.
Uh-huh.
And I said, when I'm there, you know, I'd like to see you. And he said, I would as well. So months later, when I flew to Massachusetts, is when we met again.
And how was that?
Well, it was actually pretty nice. Like, we really connected, and I went out to where he was living, and he had the dog that we had together, like, many, many years ago. The dog was still there, and it took the dog a day or two, but the dog remembered me. And we just became lovers again.
Okay, well, now, you know, people who are listening right now, how do you go from loving Joseph to loving Jill?
Well, it hadn't, the transformation hadn't completely taken place yet.
How much transformation had?
There was dressing in public as a man because he had to go out and teach. He was teaching guitar lessons and had a pretty serious job doing that he'd had for many, many years and had to go out to the job dressed as a man.
Okay.
So he looked like a pretty man.
A pretty man?
Yeah, he'd had a hair transplant because he'd been starting to go bald. I saw a picture, so that, you know, looked nice. Had a full head of hair and was getting hormone shots, but it wasn't like real extremely obvious yet, like just the beginning of breast and hips, like it was starting, but, it, you know, he could go back and forth.
So he had the beginning of breast.
Right, and the hips, kind of more padding on the hips.
More padding on the hips.
Right.
And had he done any, like, electrolysis for the beard, or?
That was in the, I think that was in the process of happening. That took a long time.
Right.
There had been a transplant of hair, so there was a full head of hair. And the beard thing, that took time, but he was just doing it in pieces. And I think it wasn't complete yet. Because every time you go, they have to remove each hair at a time.
Well, I mean, are you bisexual?
Me?
Uh-huh.
Not that I know of.
Ever had sex with a woman?
Not really, no.
And when you say not really, are you just...
I mean, well, we kissed, but I didn't actually have sex with a woman, no.
Okay, so you kissed a woman before.
That's about it, yeah.
But so, I mean, this is kind of a leap. I'm sure you can imagine some people would think, wow, you know, if the man or the woman that I love was to change their gender, I might still care about them as a person, but we certainly wouldn't continue to have sex.
Yeah, well, that does change as things get more extreme. We're just talking about the beginning of it right here.
Okay, so, but he's shaving his hair off of his body, and he's got the beginning of breasts.
Right.
And more padding on his hips. That does shift things somewhat.
Yeah.
And did you find it difficult or easy to become sexually aroused? Or?
Well, at that time, I didn't have any, you know, sex felt normal to me, so... At that, you know, when he was just starting to change over.
So you didn't feel like you were with somebody who was like half man, half woman?
I started to a little further down the line from this point.
Okay.
That's when
at what point did you start to feel that way?
Okay, well, this was probably in the spring, and then by the summer, it started to get kind of half and half.
Well, when you mean it started to get half and half, you mean that Joseph's body was starting to be half woman, half man?
Yeah.
How so? Can you describe that in detail?
Well, the breasts were, like, more prominent, you know, maybe the hips, like, a little more padded, and the mannerisms, I think, becoming more feminine.
Oh, okay.
And the clothes, like, when she came to visit me, I mean, he came to visit me.
Yeah.
The suitcase had, like, half women and half men's clothing.
Okay.
Like, there were high heels in there, you know.
And how did that strike you? Were you just like, okay, you know, I knew that getting into this, or were you kind of like, oh my God, this is kind of overwhelming, it's more than I expected?
I was more like, oh my God, this is getting overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I was sad.
Sad?
Yeah, because I felt like I was losing him.
Hmm.
That he was, you know, being taken over by she.
Yeah, and did you relate much to his new persona as Jill? Were you able to have meaningful conversations with Jill?
Well, yeah, because the person underneath never changed. We're still friends today.
Awesome.
The person underneath the sexuality has always been there.
Okay.
And we'll always be friends, so that was still there. I was able to see through it, like, you know, go beyond it.
Okay. All right, but what about the sex?
That was still pretty good. I mean, I hadn't lost... You know, it hadn't become gross or anything or, like, bizarre. I'd say it was still pretty good. But I felt like I was still with a man. You know, I wasn't with a woman.
And that's because she still had full erections?
Yes.
And did Joseph's love-making technique start to shift as he moved into his identity as Jill? Did he start wanting you to... do things differently than you had done before, or did you guys do everything exactly the same?
I think for the most part, it didn't shift. There were maybe a few little subtle things that were shifting, but generally it didn't shift.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I'm going to check in with our callers here real quick.
Okay.
Well, hoping that we get some callers, I should say,
yes.
Our listeners. This is a live call-in format show, and I would have announced the numbers a little earlier, but I kind of wanted to give Gene a chance to ease into the story, and we're about halfway through here. So if you have some questions that you'd like to ask, that you, maybe some, you're going, wow, I wish Veronica would ask Gene this, we'll just call up and ask her yourself, okay? It's real easy, and nobody will know it's you. Our 800 number in the U.S., is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227, toll-free in the United States. If you're in Canada, you can dial 888-815-9756. Again, the toll-free for Canada is 888-815-9756. Feel free to call in. Gene will be happy to answer whatever curiosities you may have. Let's face it, very few of us have an opportunity to encounter this kind of a dynamic with a loved one. So it's pretty interesting and intriguing, and I certainly have lots of questions. And in particular, I think it always comes down to, you know, body parts, because that's what we think of when we think about men and women. It's just basically, you know, plumbing, and you change the plumbing, and you say the sex pretty much stayed the same. It's kind of hard for me to understand that. I mean, for instance, I would think that as Joseph turns into Jill, is that the name we picked?
Yeah, Jill.
Yeah. Then I would think the breast that she is going to such great lengths to grow would have become rather important, and she would have wanted you to stimulate those breasts.
Yeah, that probably was there, but they weren't that big yet, but there was some of that.
Did that make you feel uncomfortable at all?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. So, all right, well, tell us more about the emotional connection, because, you know, I've actually heard you say a couple different things here. One, that it's still the same person, but I've also heard you say that you felt like you were losing Joseph, and it made you feel sad because you didn't feel as connected emotionally to Jill.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of personality changes were going on?
You know, it's funny. The personality wasn't really changing. It was the same person, and I could still really connect, and we're still really close. But the mannerisms, like the physical mannerisms, were changing. Like the more superficial things were changing.
Uh huh.
And that was like really important to Jill. That was like a focus for her that didn't interest me very much.
Important as what? In trying to make sure that the mannerisms became feminine.
Yeah, that there was a focus that the femininity continued to increase, and you know that. And then she went over well as a female, you know, was an attractive female. And so much focus and energy was going into that that I felt kind of abandoned.
Do you ever feel like Jill was competing with you as a woman?
No, not really. I don't remember feeling that way. I know sometimes I remember we went out at night a few times. Well, there weren't that many because we had visits during this part of the relationship. We didn't live together or live in the same state. But she was a little anxious about going out with me one night when she was dressed as a woman, because she said I would spook her.
She said that you would what?
Spook her, like let other people know that she wasn't really a woman.
Oh.
Just because of me really being a woman and just my attitudes.
So the contrast between you, a woman who's from birth,
mm-hmm.
with whatever Jill
her
perceived that she was lacking or whatever, was that kind of, she felt competitive and overwhelmed by that.
Yeah, I think she just felt like I was bringing her out, like showing that she really wasn't a woman by just
standing next to her.
Just the attention I was bringing to her.
Huh.
And being with her, right.
Well, how did you feel about that? Did you feel rejected at all?
Not really rejected. I just thought it was, like, really kind of nuts. I mean, I don't know. I just, I thought it was just kind of like a crazy dream at the time.
Felt like it was a crazy dream?
Yeah, it was like, it didn't appeal to me sexually at all in any way. It did, and I felt like being with a drag queen.
Uh-huh.
Because she was really tall and wasn't, to me, very feminine at that time.
Oh, okay.
And we went out with a group of people, I remember that night, and there was a lot of queens, and it was just kind of, we were all in a restaurant, and I was the only actual birth woman there, and they were all queens at the table, and I felt like totally entertained, and I was just like, kind of thrilled, actually.
Oh, so you actually found this kind of fascinating.
Yes.
Why do you think that is?
Well, it's just so, it's like so creative, so different, you know, for people to like just express themselves like that. Just to have
maybe
the guts
freedom?
To do that, you know.
Do you like the freedom involved in it?
Yeah, I like the creativity and the freedom and the just being able to totally, you know, just totally do things that a lot of people would never have the courage to do. Just get away with it and just, you know, do what you feel like doing.
Did you feel any elements of that when you would wear men's underwear?
I didn't really care about it that much. I mean, it was just, you know, I just did that to please him, and I didn't think it was that significant.
Okay.
Didn't really do it.
So this didn't have, like, personal meanings for you, but just being around people who are following their bliss and rebelling against whatever constraints there might be, that was exhilarating for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm. Okay, so catch us up a little bit here. You guys are getting back together. The sex still seems normal to you.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens?
Then the change is getting more progressive. Like, you know, he is changing more rapidly than the last two times we saw each other.
And that means what?
That means that I, you know, that I'm...
No, I mean physically, how is...
Oh, okay. Dressing like a woman most all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when having to dress like a male for, like, the work situation...
Uh-huh.
I remember he had this ace, really wide ace wrap that he wrapped around his breast to make them flat. So it was like he really was becoming a woman but had to, like, dress up as a man.
So now he was, like, cross-dressing as a man.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. So that's one difference. What else? Mannerisms are shifting.
Yeah. And priorities are shifting.
What priorities?
Just, like, going out and, like, getting dressed up was really, really important, and hanging out with, you know, the people in that crowd, and... I remember he told me he was in the fast lane. You know, he had entered the fast lane.
Right.
And
what does that mean?
Well, to me, it just meant that he was moving along pretty rapidly now with the process, like the estrogen shots and the electrolysis, and the, you know, just changing over, like getting the breasts bigger and getting a bigger wardrobe and finding ways to, like, change over completely.
How did he get his breasts bigger? Did he get silicone?
No, this was all from hormone injections.
Isn't it amazing what hormones can do?
Yeah. Some people just fall right into it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's easy for them to just change over.
Okay, so you guys are kind of still being lovers, though, through all of this.
It was just the last time was just for, like, a weekend visit, and that's when I realized I couldn't do it anymore.
Okay, now what was it that happened that you said, hey, this is it, I gotta get out of this point?
Well, pretty much all the stuff I mentioned, like everything had speeded up. And then I don't know exactly sequentially when this happened, but we watched this movie together that she showed me of a couple where one of them had a sex change, but they still stayed together.
Yes.
And that was kind of like an invitation for me to say, I can do this, and I said, I can't do this.
Oh, wow.
It was getting kind of sad.
How did you feel making that decision?
Well, two things. It wasn't so much a decision because I had no choice. I really was not turned on by a woman he was changing into a woman.
Right.
So I couldn't fake that, you know, I would love him as a woman that way.
Uh-huh.
And then I felt really sad, like I was losing probably one of the people I was closest to in my life.
Oh, wow.
It was really hard.
So is that when you guys decided to stay friends?
Yeah, we stayed friends, but, you know, it was definitely a breakup as far as lovers. And we still saw each other once in a while and kept in touch. We still do.
Well, how did Joseph feel did he feel rejected as Jill?
I think so. I mean, not devastatingly so, but I think rejected. But realistic, too.
Realistic as in?
Just that, you know, that this was a choice, that this was not even a choice, but he had to do this at any cost, even if it meant that, you know, our relationship would end as it had been.
Obviously, it didn't hold grudges, or she, I should say, didn't hold grudges, or she wouldn't still be your friend.
Didn't hold grudges. No, she didn't.
Well, now that Jill has completely replaced Joseph, and you guys are still friends,
mm-hmm.
but not lovers.
No, we haven't been since that.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s.
How are you able to connect as friends? Are the conversations the same? Or
yeah.
Do you guys still get together to do the same things? How does that work?
Well, we haven't seen each other. I mean, I saw her once since she moved to Florida, so I haven't, you know, I went back to Massachusetts, and I would always try to get in touch, you know, but since many years ago she moved. But we connect really well. Like, we just have a natural friendship. It just seems like we talk real, I'm real comfortable with her.
And the fact that she is now a she doesn't enter the picture for you?
No. Once in a while I say, like, they instead of he or she when I'm talking about her.
Yeah?
Because I've known both people, so I get it mixed up.
So you just say they?
Yeah, by accident I'll just slip into saying they. Or, you know, it's because I can't say he, so I just say she or they when I talk about her.
Oh. And right, to her face?
No, to, like, friends.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right, so when you're talking about to friends, you say they.
Right.
Because that's what it still feels like. You don't want to let go of Joseph.
I don't think I've ever totally, you know, because it's all one continuum thing.
Wow. Well, I mean, did you cry about this?
I felt sad. And, you know, for a long time it was like that would have been such a nice relationship, you know, and that could have lasted a long time, like really harmonious.
Uh-huh.
If it could have worked out, you know, but at the same time I couldn't picture anything else because that's what happened and that's who she was.
Right.
And she had to be who she was.
And you're not attracted to women, so as Joseph becomes Jill, that pretty well transitions it into a friendship.
Exactly.
And away from sex. So how long ago was it when you said to Joseph, I can't do this?
Oh, that was a while ago. Let's see. Let's say that was probably about 22 years ago.
Oh. Quite some time ago.
Yeah.
You guys have been friends all those years.
And before, yeah, we've been friends a long time.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what would you, what would you say to people who might, there's not a lot of people are going to run into this situation, but certainly it does happen. And maybe there might be some reason to believe that it could be happening a little more often, especially when you look at all the medical advances that have been made for sex change operations.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell somebody? I mean, would you advise them to try to stay with that person? Or would you tell them, you know, don't bother, just try to get out as soon as you can so you don't break this person's heart or something else?
I would say do what I did, just follow your natural urges. You know, like if it feels good, stay with it. If it doesn't feel good, you know, don't stay with it.
So you don't have any regrets then?
No, I don't.
Cool.
I don't, and we're still friends, too.
Now, you had a daughter during this time, right?
Yeah, I had the daughter when we got back together was, like, it was 2.5, 3 years old. I remember we were together when she was about 3 years old.
Okay. Well, is that kind of difficult to explain to your daughter?
No, my daughter is very fascinated with the whole thing. I mean, when she was
fascinated?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you got to explain that.
Well,
because most people would think their kids would probably be shocked or traumatized. So how is your daughter fascinated?
Well, she likes, you know, she likes Queens, and she likes going to those shows where they perform.
How old is she now?
25.
25, and so she likes seeing the. Has she ever been to, like, Finocchio's in San Francisco?
Well, she lives in Portland, so we went to a place, club up there.
What's it called?
I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, okay.
If you told me, I'd probably recognize it.
Similar to Finocchio's, then.
Yeah.
Which is a drag queen bar in San Francisco, for people who don't know.
Yeah, it would be that, a drag queen bar.
So your daughter's fascinated.
Yeah, and she's totally open to being friends with those people. And she had the advantage of hanging out with Jill and kind of bonding with her a few times.
Uh-huh.
When she was little, so she just, you know, felt comfortable with her. And she even went to visit her maybe it was like about 5 years ago or so, when she was passing through that area where Jill lives with a friend of hers, and they really connected.
Mm-hmm.
So she's always had a really good attitude about it. Like, she feels good about it. You know, she doesn't see anything abnormal about it.
Did she live with you while you were with Joseph or Jill?
For the third time we were together, because she wasn't around the first two times.
And how long were you guys together the third time?
Oh, it probably went on for like about 8 months at the most, I'd say.
Okay, so a little under a year.
Yeah.
That's still a fairly long time.
From like spring until fall.
Was there something that you said to your daughter that helped her cope with this?
You know, I think it was more my attitude that there was nothing strange or abnormal about it.
And how do you get to that point, to think that there's nothing strange or abnormal about it? You know, that's a pretty uncommon stance.
Well, if you really believe that, you just live that, you know, and you breathe that, and that's who you are, and you don't even have to explain it.
No, that's true. You don't have to explain it, but it's helpful to other people.
Well, I'll answer other people's questions, but as far as my daughter, she was really small. You know, she was just coming out of being a baby, and she didn't have any bad experiences about it. And she saw, you know, for all the times, even after we were just friends,
yeah,
a few times we were together, and Jill was dressed as a woman, and she said she knew, but Jill was really nice to her, and she, you know, didn't. She was perfectly comfortable with it. She didn't.
Your daughter said that she knew.
As an older girl, she would look back on that. I think she said she knew, but she didn't really think about it. It seemed normal to her.
Knew that Joseph was becoming Jill?
Well, what we told her that it was the cousin. Like, when the transformation had totally been made.
Oh, you left that part out.
Yeah.
Okay, so you made up a story.
Yeah, we told her that, we said this is Joseph's cousin.
Oh,
Jill.
So when she says she knew, she means she knew that you guys were lying to her.
Or she just kind of figured it out, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty sure she said that.
I'm not surprised about that. That's a pretty common thing. Kids
yeah.
oftentimes see right through the lies their parents are trying to sell them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my mother was pretty upset, because I remember we were staying with my mother, and she thought I shouldn't have my daughter around her, but I didn't see any reason, because there was just love and kindness and friendship, and I saw no reason to protect my daughter from any of that.
What was your mother's line of reasoning? Protect her from what?
Just from the strangeness of it. Like, she thought it was unhealthy or something.
Oh, yes. Well,
strange
things, you know, if it goes against our value system, then strange things are unhealthy or potentially traumatizing.
Right.
But if it doesn't violate our value system, then a lot of times strange things are an adventure.
Exactly.
You know, that's why we travel a lot of times, so we can go have an adventure in strange places.
Right. That's it, an adventure.
Do you think your parents had anything to do with your open-mindedness?
Well, my parents were open-minded. Like, they were, they were very liberal, and they weren't, like, anti-gay or anti-black, you know, in the time I was growing up in the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
they were pretty open-minded. My father was a lawyer, and when I was being told in school that the Russians were Reds and they were communists and those are horrible people, I'd go home. My dad'd say they're nice people. They want peace. So it's kind of a twist.
Your parents were very liberal then.
Very liberal, yeah.
Well, I'm sure that Jill is very happy to have you as a friend, even if you're not her lover at this point.
Yeah, or I think there's an attachment there in friendship.
Oh, yeah. I mean, so many transgender people really do lose all connections and their entire families
mm-hmm.
and everything when they go through the transition.
Mm-hmm.
It can be hugely traumatic. And
yeah.
So even though, you know, you're obviously a straight woman, you didn't want to have sex with a woman, keeping that connection, I'm sure, has just made all the difference in the world for Jill to feel like she has some connection to her past. And
yeah, it's kind of like family.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's like an old part of yourself. Because it's true, she did lose connection with, except for a very few people, including myself, the past is gone.
No, I mean, you made, to you, obviously, you're a pretty humble person. This just seems like an ordinary, normal part of your life. But for myself, and I'm sure other people who are listening in, it's pretty extraordinary
mm-hmm.
and broad-minded and generous, to be able to hang in there. And it's because I think a lot of times what happens is people will feel rejected and angry.
So which people, which one?
The partner whose partner is transitioning.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'll be like, well, they feel like their partner's transitioning has some kind of, it says something about them.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of it being about the person who's transitioning, it becomes kind of like an insult. So it sounds like you didn't go through any of that.
No, I don't remember going through that at all.
Well, we only have a couple more minutes here. Tell us a little bit about your show at KVMR. What is it? What's that, 89.5 on the dial?
Yes, 89.5.
Yeah, I'm so generous here. I'm advertising your show on my show.
Thank you. Well, it's a collective, so it's not my show, really. It's a group of women that we have every Monday evening from 8 to 10 on KVMR. And
from 8 to 10?
Yeah.
That cuts right into my show. They can only watch the first half.
No, I'm not trying to get to watch the first half. No, I wouldn't advertise it that way. But it's just for women's programming.
Yes.
It's like women's voices, women's music, women's issues. Because that's 2 hours a week that's just for women.
And you guys play some awesome music.
Just sometimes there's good music on it. And I do poetry.
And you read poetry, yes. And I have one of your poetry books. You're a very good poet. And is there a website?
Oh, well, just you go to kvmr.org and then the Women's Collective.
Okay, kvmr.org, and that's in Nevada City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know you have a chapbook. Are you selling copies of your poetry? Or?
Yes, I have I have quite a few books, but the latest one is the one I've been selling. And it's
What's the name of it?
Carved from Light and Shadow.
Beautiful title.
Thank you.
Beautiful title. And how can people get a copy of your poetry?
Well, I could just give my email address.
Please do.
So it's Varda the Scribe at sbcglobal.net.
Okay, you want to spell Varda?
V-A-R-D-A.
That's V as in Victor.
Mm-hmm.
A-R-D as in dog.
Mm-hmm.
A.
The Scribe, like a scribe, a poet.
Okay.
At sbcglobal.net.
Okay. Wonderful. Did you end up writing any poetry about Jill?
Actually, I think there is a poem in that book, but it was written back in the 1970s when we were together in a traditional, male-female relationship.
Okay.
Because there's a section of that book called The Love Poem. And I think there's one in there that was written for her.
God. Well, I'd love to hear some poetry about the transition.
Oh, yeah.
If the spirit ever moves you, that would be awesome.
I don't think I've written anything about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe something to mine there. Thank you so much for sharing this deeply personal story with our audience tonight.
Okay, well, thank you for having me, Veronica.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I'll see you on the trail, Jean.
Okay.
Can't wait till our next hike.
Me too.
Okay, good night, sweetheart.
Good night.
Veronica Monet offers help, healing, and hope in the form of private telephone sessions. Email Veronica at sexwithoutshame.com to schedule an appointment, or visit www.sexwithoutshame.com to find out what Veronica can do for you.